time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up with the Saturday morning sun, plop down on the floor with a big bowl of sugary cereal, and we'll enjoy your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And this morning, we watched the world premiere cartoon, slash what a cartoon, slash the cartoon show.
But what cartoon, you ask?
So many cartoons.
No easy way to answer that.
No. So this ran from 95 to 97 originally, from 95 to 2002 through the extended version. It's not complicated, but it's a lot to explain, to the point where to explain all of it to you would take the entire episode. So I'm not going to do that, but we'll throw in pieces here and there. Basically, this is created by Fred Siebert, the president of Hanna-Barbera Cartoons. And it was his idea to just let these individual cartoonists or individual creators pitch their cartoons. Kind of like this was almost like a show that allowed cartoonists to pitch their shows. And if they were popular enough, they would get picked up and made into series. I'll name a few of the series that it actually helped spawn in a little bit, but for now, that's, as far as the creation goes, what you need to know. Produced by Hanna-Barbera and Cartoon Network Studios, ran for a total of 3 seasons and 82 episodes on the Cartoon Network and TBS and TNT from 95 to 2002. For a short synopsis, a project consisting of 48 short cartoons intended to return creative power to animators and artists by recreating the atmosphere that spawned the iconic cartoon characters of the mid-20th century. So, pretty accurate.
Yeah, and like I gotta say, like as in, like it's a cool idea. It's very cool, especially like I'm surprised that something like this doesn't exist now. I mean, I guess with the internet, like if somebody wants to get their stuff seen, you know, they can just throw it on YouTube or wherever they want, and that works. But before we had a platform to do something like that, like this was such a great idea and such an awesome thing to do for animators and writers and stuff like that had their own ideas.
Oh yeah.
Like super cool.
Yeah, definitely. So we watched what we did. So there were 48 original shorts, as I said, for the what a cartoon portion. Well, for 48 shorts is what the original pitch was, and that's what was given. So out of these 48, we watched 3 of them, as we generally do in this show. We'll give you the reasons why once we get there. But Chris, who were some of the actors who played in the ones that we watched?
Okay, so the 3 shorts that we watched, which are Blues Gang, Larry and Steve, and Utica Cartoon. In the segment Blues Gang, and blue spelled B-L-O-O, not like the color. So you thought you knew, but you didn't know. So the characters of Blue and Scully were both voiced by Mike Milo. The character of Simon, voiced by Nick Jameson, and the characters of Stinky, Elmo, and Blue's owner was Frank Welker. What?
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
He shows up in everything.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude. Also, this wasn't a main part. It was just like a bit, like somebody said something in the background. Was Greg Berger, who is the voice of Grimlock from Transformers.
Cool.
Among many other things. So for Larry and Steve, the only 2 real main characters, Larry and Steve, both voiced by Seth MacFarlane. Dun, dun, dun. Hmm. Yeah, there'll be a lot to talk about there. And then the last one, Utica Cartoon. I could not find who voiced what character, but I do have all 5 people that provided voices for this short. So we have Jesse Schmall, Will and Fran Krause, Mike Overbeck, and Joel Fresner. So all 5 of them voices for this, but I don't know who voiced what character. Sorry. And we didn't follow the normal format in which we do first episode highest rated listener pick. This was 2 of these were chosen by the listener, and one of them was chosen by me for a specific reason, and we will jump into that reason as soon as we start talking about it. And the listener that chose this was Daniel Martin X, which is, you know, one of those 90s X-Men throwaways.
Daniel Martin X. Yeah, Martinex.
Well, it sounds like a cleaner, almost. So it could be like Martinet, but I don't want to say it's Martinex.
Yeah, Martinex sounds way cooler. That's his mutant
name.
And
I wanna say that when he says his last name and pronounces it Martinex, he makes his like he crosses his forearms in an X, like Power Rangers style. He's like Martinex.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and like there's like different colored lightning behind him when he does it, and then he transforms into a dinosaur.
I'm almost certain that's true. How can you have a name like Martin X and not do that,
Daniel? If you do that and turn into a dinosaur with different colored lightning behind you, like please let us know.
Yeah,
just let us know that we're right, regardless of if we are.
Yeah, pictures or it didn't happen.
So we can
let us know.
Yeah, so we can stay with it.
Yeah, yeah, please.
And sorry if like listeners, if my voice comes and goes, because I have been sick now for a month and it just keeps coming and going. So I'm trying to keep my voice strong for you, for each of you, you, that one,
especially
trying
you.
To keep it strong for all of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ignore the other one though. Yeah. That third one doesn't count.
Not that person. No, it's weird. Cause your voice was fine last week.
Yeah. It's just coming in waves, man. Like it's just different parts of my body are just getting wrecked at different times.
That sucks. I'm laughing, but it sucks. I do feel bad for you.
That's what I do every day.
Yeah.
That's how I describe my life.
Oh, so for a few tasty marshmallows, our big bowl of cartoon cereal, the company started taking pitches in earnest in 1993 and received over 5,000 pitches for the 48 slots that were available. So can you imagine?
Whoa.
Can you imagine digging through 5,000 pitches to figure out which ones they were going to use for 48?
Oh, pitches. Okay, never mind.
Oh.
Sickness can't keep me down.
Or it's brought you to an all-time low.
No, but seriously, I don't think I've ever seen 5,000 of anything. So
yeah. to promote the shorts, Cartoon Network's marketing department came up with the concept of dive-in theater in 95 to showcase the 48 cartoon shorts. So what happened was they were shown at water parks and large municipal swimming pools, treating kids and their parents to exclusive poolside screenings on 9x12 movie screens.
Well, that's a weird idea.
Yeah, dive-in theater. What a strange concept.
Like, hey, I've got this new idea for a television show, but let's only show it at the water park.
Yeah.
It's a strange, everything about that decision was strange.
Exactly. Also, and this is what, like I was saying earlier, I'll say some of the shows that this actually spawned. The project served as a launching point for multiple Cartoon Network series, including Powerpuff Girls, Dexter's Laboratory, Johnny Bravo, Cow and Chicken, Courage the Cowardly Dog, Mike, Lou, and Og, Sheep in the Big City, Whatever Happened to Robot Jones, Codename Kids Next Door, Grim and Evil, Magus XLR, which I don't know what that one is, as well as Fox's Family Guy, which comes into play in today's episode.
So it's like, it's crazy. So this wasn't just like a, you know, just a, we'll showcase your pilot and then shut up and leave us alone. Like, no, they really did launch the careers of tons of animators using this show. So it's crazy just thinking about that long list of well-known cartoons.
Yeah, and that they all started from something like this crazy idea. Yeah. That was really kind of not frowned upon, but it was like it was considered really risky at the time that it was done. So they were like, why are we doing this? And it really paid off in so many ways.
And those cartoons out of like the 5,000 submissions, I mean, my God.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what some of them would have been. I mean, I'm sure there was really bottom of the barrel stuff, but what we got were pure gems.
Had to be. Yeah.
So, and also lastly, from 2005 to 2008, the cartoon show was revived as a block for reruns of older cartoons that had been phased out of the network. So that's just a little trivia on the return of it. Not part of the original one that ran from 95 to 2002, but 2005, 2008, there was a short return of the cartoon show.
I think I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. What other memories do you have of this? I'm sure, you know, growing up around the same time that this was really popular, like you have to have seen some of it.
Oh, yeah, I definitely did. I remember seeing some of these and being a little confused because sometimes I would see because they did a lot of reruns of it. So sometimes I would see a show that I'm like, well, that's a show already now. Like, you know, you might see Powerpuff Girls and stuff. And I was like, kind of confused. But other times it's something I've never heard of. And I'm like, whatever. It's just like, you know, cool. I get like a random little cartoon here. That's kind of fun. So yeah, I mean, I definitely caught it just randomly watching Cartoon Network or something like that just back in the day.
Yeah, same here. And I couldn't really conceptualize what it was actually trying to do. Like, if you had told me it was pitches for actual shows, I would not have understood what you were saying when I was, you know, 10 or whatever age I would have been at that point. So it's cool that that is what happened. But yeah, I didn't. I remember seeing it. I remember the cartoon commercials. I remember the what a cartoon like intro where it was like, what? Cartoon. That is stuck in my head forever. So it was funny hearing that again, and it kind of took me back.
Yeah, you know, and I think as a kid too, I just assumed, like you said, I didn't know that these were pitches for something. I think I just assumed that these were excerpts from already existing cartoons that they're just like, you know, thrown in for fun after a different show.
Yeah, you know? So yeah, or like origins of these cartoons. That's what I would have thought too.
Yeah, yeah, like first episodes of something.
Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and talk about the shorts we watched for today's show. And it's like you said earlier, it's not the typical ones we do. There were two that were chosen by Martin X, the X-Men, and by Chris himself. The first one we watched was Blues Gang, which was season one, episode 29 of the original 48 shorts, where Blue and his dog friends sneak out of their owner's houses at midnight to set on a pirate adventure in the city. Was this one that you chose, or was this one that Martin X chose?
This is one that Martin X
yeah.
chose.
Right.
He chose this one, yes. And I don't know why, but he did choose it.
Yeah, and the title for this episode, I mean, Blues Gang was a show, but the title was Bow Wow Buccaneers. Here we have these dogs tied up in the park. Blue is kind of the leader, and he's saying that they need to go on an adventure, like the... Their owners are there playing softball while they're tied up to a tree. So they're talking about how they need to go on an adventure and to meet up at midnight to start all this off.
And one of them is very British. I think his name was Simon, maybe.
Yeah, you're right. And he's like a shaggy sheepdog almost.
Yeah. And the other one just had crazy eyes. He was just this crazy little dog.
He looked
like he was mentally insane.
Yeah, that was Scully. I like that one because he was just really loud and he had a funny voice.
Yeah, I just like how he looked. I did not like Blue, honestly. Didn't care for that character at all. He just, like, you know, he was the character that he was just constantly talking, and he got on my nerves really quick.
Yeah, I can kind of agree with you there. Blue was the weakest dog out of this show for me.
I would agree with that. So they, like you said, Blue gets out of his yard, and he goes to meet up with the other two who have secured, was that like a wagon and something? They basically built what looks like a pirate ship, I think, on a wagon.
And they somehow have an anchor as well. And it's very cartoonish in the sense that when they meet up with Blue, they throw the anchor at him and it goes into his mouth and they start like pulling him along with it, with the pirate ship.
Yeah. And one thing I did think was kind of funny, they eventually go out catfishing. Literally were looking for cats, and they were shooting, instead of like harpoons, they're shooting plungers and reeling the cats in.
Yeah,
which that part was like a little funny.
Who was that? Was that cat's voice Frank Welker? Because the cat's voice sounded really familiar to me.
Yes.
Okay, that's why then.
It was Frank Welker. And the big cat that comes in later is also Frank Welker.
Okay, but the little cat's voice, it sounds like another voice that he's done because I couldn't place it, but I knew that voice. Oh, okay.
The little cat was Stinky.
Stinky,
that
yeah.
First one they caught, that was Stinky.
And they were going to make him walk the plank into what would have been, I guess, wet cement. I wasn't sure what it was exactly.
I thought it was just sand. Like, I thought it was a sand
maybe
box.
Maybe it was sand. It had words on it. I couldn't see what they were, though. But it's very, it was weird that it turned into a pirate thing to me. And I guess because these shorts are literally like 7 minutes long, that there's not a lot of time for exposition or really explanation at all. So right. I guess it's just like, well, I guess that's their idea of adventure. They never really mention that's what it's going to be, but it just happens that they're all like, all right, we're pirates now, and this is what we're doing.
Yeah, it's very much that this was not like any kind of origin story. This was just like a run-of-the-mill episode where there's probably no continuity.
Yeah, so they find a meat truck eventually, and this is where it turns from,
oh yeah,
let's walk this cat on the plank to, all right, forget the cat, there's a meat truck, let's get this.
We gotta rob it.
Yeah, we have to rob this meat truck. They blow it up somehow, Yeah, there's this meat just strewn across the street. This is where all these other cats come because they're smelling this.
Yeah, it's like beef stew spilled out everywhere, basically.
Yeah, basically. And so all the other cats come, and Stinky's telling like the lead cat, he's just like, they trapped me and they were going to make me walk the plank or whatever. And like the cats are about to attack. And then what I actually did think, this is kind of funny, where Blue got the yarn, and cats are like suckers for yarn. So he throws it into the pile of them, and they just all kind of like hoard around it as they get away. At one point, they call it a catastrophe, but it's one of those things where it's a bad joke, but they know it's a bad joke and they like claim it as such. And like the others even sigh at him. So that's appreciated.
At least they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, exactly. And so they get kind of launched back in their yards. Blue lands on his doghouse and it explodes. And you see a little earlier in the episode where Blue's owner is like reacting to all these noises Blue is making outside. And so he comes outside, like sees him like laying there on his crushed doghouse dressed up as a pirate. And he's like, what happened? And he's just like, woof, woof. And he's like, all right, I better not ask. And then he just walks back inside. And that's how the episode wraps up.
That was also Frank Welker.
Okay. So Frank Welker talking to himself as a dog.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So this one for me, out of the three we watched, just to rank them, this was my least favorite of the three.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I didn't like this short that much. Like this is one where I was like, it's kind of interesting, but just it wasn't doing it for me. It wasn't enough. So I'm assuming that of the three segments we watched, none of them were picked up. And like one kind of in a different way, and we'll explain that next. But this one, if it wasn't picked up, I can see why.
Yeah, this was very run of the mill, and it would have been great for like a student short or something, but not for a pitch that would have made me want to take on a whole series of it.
Yeah, definitely not. I wouldn't have. If it was money I was investing some, I would have passed on this for sure.
Yeah. So the next one we watched for today's show was Larry and Steve, season 1, episode 41. And you chose this one?
I did choose this one, and you can probably guess why.
I can imagine. Yeah. So
but we can explain it, I guess.
we'll explain it in a second. So Steve, a homeless dog, is adopted by dimwit Larry, the only man to understand dog, and lives disaster after disaster when Larry takes him shopping. So this, for anyone who doesn't know, and you probably would have guessed it after hearing Chris say that Seth MacFarlane was both these voices, but this is the precursor to Family Guy.
Yeah.
This is literally Brian and Peter. And also you get a little bit of Quagmire in here. They mention the name Stewie in here for something.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of Family Guy like strewn throughout this long before Family Guy actually started coming out.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. This is like seeing, it's like when you eat a pie, which I made the other day, and then you're just kind of thinking about, oh, I wonder what all went into this pie. And then you start thinking about like cinnamon, and then you're like, oh yeah, there's some cinnamon in this pie. So then you kind of make the connections. It's like, this is the cinnamon, the Family Guy. Like you see that this was one of the big ingredients that made Family Guy what it was.
Yeah, you can see the ingredients strewn about this little short. And even like the voices are spot on with what they are in Family Guy. And
yeah,
like even the character types, like in this one, Larry is a complete moron like Peter. And Steve is a very like almost like a really well-read and intelligent dog, very much like Brian. So these characters are like copy paste of each other.
Yeah,
not appearance wise, but in their character styles.
Yeah, they look completely, they don't look anything like their Family Guy counterparts, but their attitudes, mannerisms, their voices are the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
Even Steve walks upright like Brian does.
Yeah, walks on two legs.
Yeah, and they even drew attention to that at one point in this short. And the dialogue of this show feels like Family Guy.
Oh, definitely.
Very much so.
Like all they needed to make it a Family Guy episode with a different skin would be some kind of like cutaways to like flashbacks or scenarios.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what's funny too is this episode kind of was that. This episode starts out where it's Steve talking to a video camera explaining, you know, how he got to where he is. And he talks about the day that Larry picked him up from the pound.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole episode really is actually a flashback.
That's true. Yeah, it is a long-winded flashback.
Yeah. There's so many, like, so many of those quick-witted, subtle jokes in this short that was just like, this is absolutely the same formula Family Guy likes to use as far as their jokes.
So what's happening in this one, so like you said, Steve is talking to the camera and telling us how he got into this mess in the first place. So he, when we go back, we see that he's in the pound and he's put up to be like one of the next dogs who's set to be put down to be given euthanasia. And but he speaks, but no one understands him. Like all they're hearing is barking as he's speaking to them, as you kind of imagine it would be in Family Guy, except that they do understand Brian. So
yeah,
it's like, in this case, I guess going back to even Blues, the one we just watched, like it's the same thing where no one really understands the animals. They're just all talking amongst themselves. But here, so he thinks he's going to be put down. He's trying to like explain why he would be a good dog to adopt to all these people who are walking by him in the pound. But everyone just hears the barking and they're like poking his nose and stuff until Larry walks up and he understands and like he hears what he's saying. But he turns out to be, I think he says he has the IQ of a flank steak or something. So he's a complete moron.
I love the joke, though, when Larry walks up and he's like, oh, a dog who speaks English. He's like, I used to have a dog who spoke Dutch, but I couldn't understand it.
Yeah, that sounds very Family Guy even.
Yeah, exactly. And I love the euthanasia joke there too, where
they have too many kids as is. Yeah.
Yeah. Larry, Steve is telling Larry, he's like, you got to get me out of here or you're going to be responsible for euthanasia. And Larry just gets so serious. He's like, oh boy, they got enough kids over there already.
Yeah. Which I liked because it's not something you would think about until you sound it out, and then I was like, oh, that's right, awesome.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you see like Larry's train of thoughts too, where he's trying to fit like a square peg into a circle hole. It's just like, yeah, you see
like that,
trying to like jam it in there. So this guy right off the bat, you see that he's an idiot, and this is a hyper intelligent dog who is set up with his idiot. So it's a great like buddy comedy going on already.
Yes. So they go back to Larry's place and he's kind of showing Steve his new room, but it sucks. It's falling apart. Like the bed shoots him into the air because the spring comes out. So they're like, we have to go to a store.
That part's kind of funny because the first, like he sees the TV, the lamp and the bed. He's like, all right, there's TV, there's a light and there's a bed. And then the TV explodes and the lamp explodes. And he's like, well, at least there's a bed. And then the spring comes out and explodes up there. So, yeah
exactly.
That's a pretty good part.
Yeah. So they try to go shopping somewhere. And that's where you hear the name Stewie's because, oh, we could go to Stewie's. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
There's a thing.
Exactly.
It's so weird. And then there's this whole crazy thing where it's like, this is where it kind of, it's unlike Family Guy in that it goes like very Looney Tunes-ish kind of cartoony in this way where so Larry's just not paying attention while he's driving. He's looking at like some newspaper ads and he hits a sign. It splits the car in half.
Well, it's a literal fork in the road.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a fork in the road. That's right. So half of it's going one way. Half of it's going the other way. Just keeps continuing. And I do like the part where the half that Steve is in, I keep wanting to say Brian, the half that Steve is in, heads straight for this giant just pile of dynamite in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait, that's a bit contrived, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like one of those super over-exaggerated Family Guy type jokes.
Yeah, but it's like, it's a cartoon trope from like classic cartoons, but it's noted as a trope. And that's where,
right.
Yeah, that's where the intelligence of this show comes into play.
Yeah, my favorite part of the whole thing, though, is when they get to the actual store and the massage bed. That whole thing just cracks me up.
Oh, when he turns it on high and it starts, like, beating the crap out of Brian. Or, sorry, not Brian. Out of Steve. I want to say Brian, too.
Exactly. So they talk to this woman at this store who's trying to sell them everything. Shows them this massage bed. Larry tries it out. Works great. He gets Steve to try it out. Steve gets on it. Larry accidentally hits a button that turns it on high. And the bed not only massages him really hard, but eventually picks him up by his feet and just starts slamming him against the wall. That was funny.
Yeah. And this sets off not even yet. So he gets beat up. Then there's this part where Lord Larry gets this lamp, or he sees, and he gets his lamp with a small light bulb in it. Then he gets this giant 8,000 watt light bulb, or not 8,000, 800 watt light bulb, and puts it in, and they're just like, no, it's not going to work in there. And he's like, please, I understand what I'm doing. Just let me do this.
Okay, he was like, please, I didn't spend 12 years in kindergarten because I'm stupid.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Steve was just like, well, then why? And he's like, my foot got stuck in the radiator.
Yeah. And so he puts it in there, the 800 watt light bulb, and it turns into a giant lightsaber. And that was my first thought of it. And then he even starts talking like Darth Vader, except he's like, Luke, this is your landlord. Your radiator's busted or something. This sets off this whole chain reaction where it's very, you said, Looney Tunes, where there's explosions happening, everything setting everything else off, sending Steve on this roller coaster ride of going through the store, destroying things. And then he gets launched up into the air where he hits the nose of a flying plane. And this is where Quagmire's character comes in. You don't hear this character's name, but he talks like Quagmire. He's a pilot. And so just those two things alone, obvious inspiration.
He's got the big chin like Quagmire.
Yeah, he's got the big chin. There's this kid up there with them. He's like, well, Ricky, I know you haven't ever flown a plane before, but here, take the console while I go, get a drink or something.
So he's got to get a wee nip at the creature.
And at this point, Steve is already on the nose of the plane, squished up against it. And the moment that Ricky takes over controls, he crashes back into the quality store that they came from. And I like the interaction between the pilot and Ricky afterwards. Like, Ricky, how could you do this? And Ricky makes this sad face, oh, I can't stay mad at you. Let's go get a licorice whip.
Yeah. Oh, man. And then it turns out that through all that, Larry's credit card was declined.
Yeah.
So they went through everything for nothing. They still couldn't get Steve a new bed. The whole end of the thing is basically just Steve talking to the camera again, this is what happened to me. And then Larry comes in. He's like, oh, look, you got a video camera. Hey, let me take a look at this. And breaks the camera
and shuts it off. He said your tripod's loose. And somehow that he messes up the camera trying to fix the tripod. But
right.
So this episode was basically Steve's attempt to get somebody to rescue him. If anybody can understand him, to come rescue him.
So this short, I really enjoyed. And even if this wasn't a short that led to Family Guy, you can see the very obvious cues. It was funny and intelligent enough that this was this is one I would green light for sure. I really enjoyed this one. And I kind of wish, even though we got Family Guy, I kind of would want to see this cartoon in a longer form or more of it.
Yeah, because it's like Family Guy in ways, but it's not as reliant on adult humor at all, because it sneaks stuff in there, but there's nothing that's outwardly overly adult about it.
Yeah, plus in a world where, to me, Family Guy has gone stale a very long time ago. I'd rather see something like this at this point.
Yeah, a lot more fun of a show, for sure.
Yeah.
Honestly, this was my second favorite of the ones we watched.
This one was my favorite of it. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk about my favorite of the ones we watched, which was Utica Cartoon. And this was episode 13 of, I think it's listed as season 3 as far as the episodes go. And this is when it was the Cartoon Show, not the What a Cartoon Show anymore. So confusing, but if you just look up Utica Cartoon, you'll find it.
And this was another chosen by Daniel Martin X.
Yeah, this is a Martin X. This is chosen by him. And so when Dan Bear and Micah Monkey learn that they can get free hot dogs by beating the current hot dog eating record at the local diner, they're up for the challenge. And that's all that I'll read of that, because we can start talking about it from here.
That works. My favorite part of this thing, and the thing that actually got the biggest laugh from me out of all three of the segments we watched, was this, where they're playing Guess Who at the table. The monkey and the bear playing Guess Who. And this bit kind of went on for a couple minutes. And then they're just talking about getting food, and they kind of look over to their friends, and the camera cuts to like their friends, which one is a cat, one's a turtle, and they're just randomly sawing through a bomb. And just, that was so out of nowhere that like I laughed out loud, just like just completely caught me off guard.
Yeah. What's weird is like, that's not a, well, it is a cat in a way, but it's a cheetah. It's supposed to be a cheetah.
Oh, it's a cheetah. Yeah. Oh, so it's cheetah and turtle.
I didn't even know that either until I looked it up. But yeah, so that's a cheetah. So you've got a bear, a monkey, a cheetah, and a turtle. And yeah. The playing Guess Who part was funny, too, because they're playing Guess Who in the sense that it's like, where you would describe your character, like, does your character have this or whatever? But instead, it's like describing characters like traits, where it's like, does your character... Right. Like fear commitment, or is your character
yeah, exactly,
is your character famished? And it's like, well, he is in maybe he is in Utah or something. It's like, no, not famous, famished. Like, is he thirsty? And like, it just, it goes on for a while, but I appreciate it. I thought it was a funny little gag they did.
And I gotta say, I like the design of this cartoon quite a bit. I like the design more than the others we watched. I didn't care for the animation as much. I just love the use of color, the character designs, things like that.
It reminded me a lot of, and I can't remember the name of the show or whatever, or the shorts, and I might have just been an internet. No, it was a Cartoon Network thing at one point, but it was like this fat guy who was animated like that, and he would like dance and stuff. Oh, I can't remember the name of it. You'd know what I was talking about if I could remember, but if it comes to me.
You're just describing my Saturday night, but I don't know what you're talking about.
If it comes back to me, I'll let you know.
Okay.
But what happens is they go out for hot dogs.
Did you notice the explosion sound in the background as they're walking?
Oh, yeah.
So I was just like, well, their friends are dead, but they're not. They come.
Yeah, they're the bomb. They were sawing through this bomb because they were hoping there was chocolate in it.
They thought it was full of chocolate bombs.
Yeah. And so they're going to eat these hot dogs, and they find out while they're there that the record is 16 hot dogs. And I think Dan Bear, who is the bear, obviously, he asked for 17 hot dogs. And I'm like, all right, well, you'll be the champion if you eat 17 hot dogs. And he's like, you know what happens to champions, right? He's like, they eat for free. And then he's just like, ugh, like he starts drooling everywhere. He's like, free. So they eat all 17 hot dogs. But the catch is that in order to keep getting these hot dogs free, he has to keep breaking his own record. And I like the premise of that a lot.
I thought that was pretty funny, too. So it's not like he can just come back another time and eat a couple hot dogs. Like, if he wants to eat for free, like you said, he's got to keep doing it. And just like, I guess the idea of free hot dogs is too enticing, so he just keeps coming back.
Yeah. And it gets up to the point, like, you see a little montage of it, like where he keeps coming back and he's like getting sick to his stomach of all these hot dogs. And his limit is like, it comes up to 174 hot dogs. Of course, if he, they're a dollar a piece, so if he has to pay for them, it's $174. So he's like, he has to eat them or he's going to be paying this huge amount. He eats like all 170 or whatever. And then they come out and he's like, oh, sorry, the cook forgot to add condiments. So you have to down these buckets of condiments too. And the cook's like, yeah, don't forget the relish sack. And he drops it over there. I thought that was really, it was gross, but it was so really gross. Funny. Yeah.
So I guess the next time he does it, he's just like, he just can't do it. He's just sitting there with trays full of hot dogs.
Yeah. And that's when the monkey Micah offers to jump in his mouth and help him eat them. And so he does for a while. And then somehow the cook, like, or not the cook, but somehow like the server suspects them. And so he like slaps the back of his head and monkey falls out. So he gets kicked out and he has to do it by himself. And then, but he still can't do it. There's still all these hot dogs there. Then Marty, the turtle, comes in and they come by, he and his cheetah friend, and Johnny, that's what it was. He and Johnny Cheetah come by and they see this like quarter on the ground. And I guess Marty's thing is he thinks everything has chocolate inside of it.
Yes.
So he picks up the quarter.
I like that part.
And he starts chewing on it, trying to get the chocolate out. And Johnny's just like, it's not a chocolate one like the others.
And he just goes, there's no chocolate in that one.
Yeah. And then they see Dan and Micah in there trying to eat these hot dogs. And so they wander in and said, what they need is a simple diversion to get through these hot dogs. And so Johnny sets up with these hand puppets and just starts like entertaining the server while Marty's over there. Marty the Turtle's over there dressed up as Dan and is eating the hot dogs himself.
This big old, just the worst makeshift bear costume you've ever seen. Yeah.
And when he gets tapped on the shoulder, like he turns around and you see the little turtle head like popping out of this bear mouth. And the server's just like, oh my God. And he's like, at some point he told Danny, he's like, I thought the hot dog parasites had eaten you from the inside out.
Right.
Because it looks like it's reminiscent of Aliens, where the little thing is popping out of the alien's mouth.
So with that having been thwarted, Micah comes back again and tries to help by putting the hot dogs in a blender, making a hot dog milkshake.
Oh, yeah.
Which just, oh, that sounds so disgusting. And then these police show up and they basically are just like, hey, we're going to have to, you're like violating something. You were cheating. Like, we're going to have to take you and these hot dogs in.
He said, are you here with, is this monkey your pet? And he's like, no, it's my roommate. He's well, you're violating a no pet policy.
Even though they're all animals.
Yeah.
So they take him and all the hot dogs, get in the police car and start driving away. But then it's like the police take off their faces and it's the cat, the cheetah and the turtle. And they're driving away with all the hot dogs and they flee to Canada.
Yeah. They take off with all the hot dogs and some condiments for evidence, for the sake of evidence.
Yeah. I forgot they had to get the condiments for evidence. That was pretty good. Yeah, I liked this one too. It's like I liked the other one better, Larry and Steve, but I did enjoy this one. This was one where like if I had to make a decision, if I had to make a decision on if I was gonna green light this one, I'd say that I'd probably have to see one more to know for sure, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah, I could see where you're coming from with that. I like the send off of this one where you see the restaurant like worker and he's just like, when Dan's getting taken away in the cop car, he's like, there goes a man who can eat a whole lot. So there's a lot of little things. It's kind of like a dry humor in a lot of ways, but I enjoyed it.
It was a very dry, subtle humor kind of thing, which that's where I'm like, I don't know if kids would really get it.
Sure, sure.
But if this was marketed more for adults or something like that, like I could see it.
Yeah. Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we dress our inner kids up as pirates, give them licorice whips when they crash a plane, and force them to eat 174 hot dogs so they're completely immersed when they tell us what they thought of the cartoon show.
Okay, so, I mean, cartoons are great, so of course I would like this show that helps new cartoons, but not all of them were that good. With these, I liked one, I didn't like one, and one was okay. I think it's fair to give the show 3 bowls of what a cereal out of 5. At least now I know where to submit the pilot for the cartoon I'm writing. It's about a clever boy who gets all the girls while breaking each member of his family out of jail and taking down the man.
First off, I think it was a wonderful idea to bring this amount of freedom back to the independent cartoon creators, as risky of a venture as it may have seemed. Airing these shorts helped to spawn some of the amazing full-fledged cartoons we have today. While some of the shorts we watched today didn't become as popular as Larry and Steve, aka Family Guy, they were still really fun cartoons in their own right, and I had a good time checking them out. Overall, I'd give the cartoon show 4 big bowls of hot dog milkshake cereal out of 5, and recommend you jump in for a nice sampler platter of your own. Also, I don't know where Marty Turtle and Johnny Cheetah found that chocolate bomb of theirs, but I have to have one. Oh, new plan! I'm going to treat any of the numerous bombs I find lying around now as piñatas until I finally get to the sweet, sweet candy center.
I can tell you there's no way, no possible way that could go wrong. I mean, at the most, you're going to get a chocolate explosion in your mouth.
Which sounds delicious and a little dirty.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting 2 for 1.
Exactly.
So do you have any final thoughts on what a cartoon or cartoon or whatever this was called?
So for this show, it's one I really appreciate. And like we were talking about, not all of them are going to be jams. And it's kind of good we got a good sample where it's, in your case specifically, where you really liked one, you didn't like one, and then you thought the other was average. So that's kind of what these are giving you. And that's the point of it, really, is to put on the table shows that have the potential of becoming something more. And they're not all going to win, but some of them are going to be great and move on to become much better things. So I'd say this is one where luckily you don't have to watch any sort of continuity or in any sort of order or worry about continuity. It's just grab an episode, check it out, see if you like some of the pitches, and maybe it got turned into something more. But even if it didn't, like the Utica show that I really enjoyed, you know, I can still say that I can say I've seen that whole series and I appreciate it for the one episode that I had. So yeah, overall, I really enjoyed it and I remember liking it as a kid. So a lot of fun all around.
Yeah, I got to say that you have a good point there. And this was the quickest way to watch an entire series because we watched three of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was hard for me at first to think of how I could rate this, since every single episode this show would have would be something completely different. But it's such a great idea, and it was such a cool opportunity for creators to get their pilot seen. So kudos to the network for even coming up with the idea, let alone making it happen and making it work to the point where it actually got shows picked up. So it's a little part of cartoon history that it's just such a cool thing and it gave us so much. So it's just, you have to appreciate it for what that is. And like, to your point, I think giving it like an average score, like a 3 or 4 is pretty fair, because you are going to get episodes that were good and some that weren't good, because obviously not all of the shows were picked up. I mean, it was less than half of these, you know, became an actual series, but you know, there were pilots that I think should have gotten the time of day, like Utica. So, and obviously Larry and Steve didn't get picked up, but it got changed into something else that did get picked up. So there was a lot of good ideas in there. So you got a good mixed bag of good stuff and some slightly okay stuff. Yeah, it's just such a cool idea. So I'm really glad that we got to learn more about it and take a look at it.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you, Martin X, for suggesting this to us.
Martin X!
Well, listeners, it looks like our milk supply has now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. And next week, we'll be watching
Bucky O'Hare and the Toad Wars, submitted via email by David Benda.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to this one, because I liked Bucky O'Hare back in the day, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I like the animation a lot. I remember having some of the toys. This will be a fun one, because I don't remember anything about the show, really, so I hope I'm not just remembering it with rose-colored glasses. I'm hoping it's good.
Yeah, I had some of the toys, and like you said, I hope it's living up to my childhood memories.
We'll see.
Yep.
Once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.